You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show. Speed up now, tell me.
I was reading this. Hit and run! Just like...
what happened on the episode.
Exactly.
It was a hit and run.
Hit and run.
I don't know. Hit and run usually means it's an accident. This was not an accident.
Oh, well, Dylan got hit, and the bad guys ran.
Okay, I'll give you that.
All right.
Okay.
Welcome to the Bates Motel AfterBuzz After Show. That is the lovely Paul Abdul. Singing straight up.
That's where your music
Nando
choices.
insisted on playing this song. And I was like, Nando, Paul Abdul.
Your music
so
choices.
So 80s.
Oh, boy.
I'm joined, as always, by Nando Velasquez.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? Thanks for joining us and listening to Joe's music selection.
Yes.
Joe's a Dick Clark of the 1980s generation.
We yes. really had to convince him not to do Celine Dion.
Exactly. That's Steve Lemieux. And he's right. I love Celine Dion, unapologetically. And unironically. It's fine. We're not joined by Joe Sanfilippo, who also loves Celine Dion, believe it or not.
That's the worst thing we could say about him right now.
But we are maybe on the phone.
We're about
yet.
To be.
We will be joined by the lovely Dewey Casey on the phone. We'll get her on the
she
phone.
She was not able to join us today, but we are calling her
yes.
via satellite.
To talk about Bates Motel.
With technology today.
Yeah, great one, man. I loved it.
I loved it. People having sex and having fun, and people getting beaten up. And,
hi,
yeah.
Dua. You're on the line with AfterBuzz TV.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Dua Casey.
Hello, Dua.
We're mid show.
We just started. We're just talking about all the teenagers having sex this episode, and people
yeah.
getting into fights and car accidents and all sorts of stuff.
And
nice.
Nando insisted that we open with Paul Abdul hit and run.
Oh boy. Yeah.
So
I really did insist on that.
To talk about our boy Dylan. So, since we're here, what did you think of this episode? Give me your flash impressions.
I loved it. I like that you guys got right into the sex, by the way, that you didn't waste any time.
That's us guys. That's what we do. No foreplay.
Yeah.
Just right into the sex.
Well, that's speak for yourself.
I liked that it had a lot of different tones. I liked that it started, I liked Dylan's whole line was it was very, very intense. I liked that Norma was happy this episode, and she had a mission, and she's really sure. excited, and she's there's light at the end of the tunnel about this whole bypass situation.
Yep.
I just to touch on one thing really quick. I thought it was hilarious that she tripped going down that pier to the boat.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh.
To just kind of let you know that it's not all together still.
Well, she's still out of place.
It was very slapstick too. It was very sort of a slapsticky yeah. move. Screwball
very,
comedy move.
She's a very cute way to show her that she was out of her league.
Yeah, and she's then, still yeah, a fish out of water.
And then I like that Norman's getting some. I think that that's, good for him. And I like that Emma's getting some, too. I think
yeah.
that's...
Everyone's getting some that, there, yeah, it seems
if
like.
If we can just get
yeah.
Nando some.
Okay. This beard's working. Seriously, it's working.
Beard.
And once again, Dylan's loyalty, I think is what we'll call it, kind of comes into play,
yes.
too.
Very
which
much
kind
so.
Of is how we ended the episode.
Yeah, I did I wrote that, for Norman, for such a awkward, shy, crazy kid, he's got a pretty good run in this town so far with the ladies.
Yeah.
He's doing
yeah,
all right for himself.
This isn't the first time we've mentioned that.
He's scoring pretty good. Bradley and yeah, Cody's, I think, pretty hot.
Cody's
yeah.
great.
Cody's great. She's a nice little rebellious girl.
Do I detect some jealousy, gentlemen?
I mean, if Norman can, maybe I should be crazy.
You want to move over to White Pine Oaks?
Yes. White
you want
Pine
to move
Oaks.
Over there?
See if Norman can get some action. I should move over there and I can get some action.
No.
Hello, Oregon.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I think it's interesting that Norman is sort of, I mean, we see the young Norman Bates, and he does have, I guess I always thought when I think of the Norman Bates as played by Anthony Perkins, I always thought of him as a guy who really didn't have much luck with the ladies and was kind of, you know, a frustrated loner. And we see now, you know, in his young days, he did all right for himself.
Yeah,
good,
not bad.
Good for him.
Mm.
I did also, we did get a lot of good Norma in this episode as well. We, you know, I love, you know, in the beginning of this episode we had, my impression is I love the episode as usual. Again, lots to talk about, lots of layers. I love the multiple storylines that we have. And we keep, you know, we keep getting more and more, you know, into these different possible storylines. For instance, the whole Nick and Norma thing is beyond fascinating. You know, now we have Sheriff Romero mm-hmm. out of his house living in the Bates Motel.
That's pretty awesome that we saw it torch and we didn't even think about that. Where is he going to live now? Why not live under the Bates Motel?
Exactly. The perfect place to live.
I thought that was ingenious, and I think it opens the door for so many fun little interactions. I love their dynamic right now.
Yes. Mm.
And I love their almost like bickering back and forth, their little like this banter that they have. It's really fun, and I thought it brought light to a lot of the scenes.
Well, and a little flirty. I mean, I think that, like, you know, towards the end there when she sort of made him come upstairs, I feel like that there's a little moment there where, you know, there might be a little that's the story that I'm looking forward to. That I will ask, we can ask Nestor Carbonell himself, because he'll be in studio with us next week.
Next week. Awesome. Looking forward to that.
Sheriff Romero himself will be right here in studio.
He's such an awesome guy.
Oh, yeah. And so we're looking forward to asking him all those questions, like, is he going to get it on with Norma or not? You know? And what is his role here in the screen?
On the island.
I'm sure he'll tell us everything. He'll just spill it.
Don't ask him any lost questions.
Yeah, that's what I said. Okay. I said island. I snuck that in there. Thank you for catching that to us.
Yes. Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't ask him about the eyeliner. I'm sure that he's so sick of that question.
Yes.
Wouldn't you think?
Well, we will. That would never.
We'll ask him if he's sick of the question. Instead of asking the question, we'll just say, are you sick of that question, by the way?
Well, how about we wait till next week when he's here, and this week we talk
Let's
about
Let's just talk
this
about
episode.
Everything next week.
it was a great episode. A lot of Norma stuff. You have Nick and Norma. We have Sheriff Romero and Norma. We have the Sheriff Romero and Zane.
Mm-hmm.
We have the, you know,
Norma and Cody.
Norma and Cody.
That was a fun interaction.
Which is very, like, we pretty much know, with the exception of Emma, you know, when there's a woman involved or a young lady involved, Norma's not down with it. You know, whoever this woman is, Norma doesn't think that she's any good for Norma.
Well, and on the other hand, Norma having that conversation, the birds and the bees a little bit with Emma.
And someone on Twitter said that, like, you know, it really brings out, Emma always brings out the best in Norma. Norma really likes that Emma. Like, it's a weird thing. Like, she always sort of, I mean, she works at the Bates Motel, but she really has taken her under her wing.
That was
a very tender moment.
If this was probably any other normal family, you could probably see the mother pushing the good girl that she's friends with to her son. Like, you guys should get together.
Yeah.
You know, you guys should be like that.
Well, I think that happened early on, but it was rejected by Norman. You know?
I guess rejected by him, yeah.
And it's so funny because I think the only way that Norma would ever tolerate a woman in Norman's life is because it would be somebody like Emma, who she knows doesn't have a long shelf life.
Mm.
So Emma's really the only person that Norma would ever really kind of approve for Norman, even though that's always, you know, kind of an out of the question, you know, situation. Sure. But I just think that's a little bit funny. Did you see the way that Norma reacted when Emma asked her about sex in her first time?
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
I love her subtleties, because you immediately knew that she went back to, you know, the time with her brother.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a small reaction from her.
Allegedly.
You knew exactly what she was thinking.
Allegedly. We're not sure.
We're not sure if exactly.
According to Caleb, that didn't happen. So this is according to Norma. So we'll see about that. So let's get into this. So we opened, of course, where we left off last week, which is Norman in a trance and Cody with Norman. And we saw sort of Norman, you know, snap out of it. And Cody with him. I for a moment there, I was wondering about Cody's motives there. And even when she talked about how she had to go by the house, she forgot money, she didn't want to go by the house. I was like, is Cody playing Norman? Do you think that Cody's an up and up do, or do you think that Cody is another shoe will drop with her?
I think that she legitimately just had forgotten the money. And after the whole altercation with her dad, she was just in a small little self-destructive escapist phase. You know, she got a little inside look at Norman at the last at the end of last episode. So I think that now Norman gets a little inside look at her. And so, you know, it was just a kind of a time for her to open up and bond and share. And she, I think she's really lacking that. And she really, you know, Norman is vulnerable and easy to talk to and, you know, easily controlled. And kind of just, I just think that she needed a friend in that moment. And I think that that's what that was about.
Sure. Nando, do you think she's on the up and up, or do you think there's something more sinister back there?
I like her. I like that girl. I have a crush on her. Okay. So I'll just say that much.
All right.
So, yes, anything she does is fine by me.
Okay.
I love the treehouse and bringing them up. And, yeah, that was just awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that
fair
good?
Enough. Yeah.
Fair enough?
I
like he was so awkward climbing up that treehouse. Never broke character once.
Yeah.
No, he was great.
And it seemed like it was no stunt people doing that. They were climbing. They had some pretty good rope climbing skills.
But once he got up there, he's like, he was very much like, whoa, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, he was very much excited.
Yeah, that was probably the most physical activity he had done in a while. But he was very, very out of his element there.
Hmm.
He actually cracked it. He was really sort of relaxed. He had a beer. He cracked a joke. He sort of broke the ice with a joke about Norma, which is like, let's just get out of here. Let's just keep driving. He's like, well, my mom might have an Amber Alert out of us in 30 seconds. I'm like, oh, Norman's got jokes.
Mm.
That was kind of a funny funny joke for Norman. So we now know that, Cody knows Norman's secrets.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know how bad he gets or what that means when he does, goes into
how extreme he can get. Yes.
He did say, as he's never really confided in anyone, that this happens to me. This is something that happens to me. So I think that probably will play a role down the road because, obviously he has very strong feelings for Cody. Obviously Cody knows all the secrets. I don't think, Cody's going to make it. One way or another,
mm-hmm.
I think everyone's. I keep saying that every week. Everyone's gonna die. But go ahead, Dua.
Do you think is Cody the only person that knows about this? Emma doesn't know, right?
Emma doesn't know anything last season. That I don't.
And correct
me if I'm wrong, Internet. But Emma doesn't know. I think it's just Dylan and Norma and Cody, right?
I think that's
now
about
Cody.
It.
And now Norma doesn't know that Cody knows, so this is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It was a big deal for him to tell her. Like,
yeah.
This is very moment, very tender moment when he was able to
Well, also just because of what Norma feels those blackouts lead to, and the less people that know, the better.
Right.
Because there still is some questions I guess they found out. Did they find out who killed Miss Watson yet, technically? Or are they still on the hunt for that, or they just assume it's a family thing?
They I think they framed another guy for Miss Watson's murder, but the actual real killer is not
okay.
Is
but
out there.
But yeah, as far as like Romero, nobody's really pursuing that anymore. They just assume they already figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So at least there's that. But Norma still doesn't want anyone knowing about the blackouts because obviously the less people that know, the more control she has over
it. So and so we get back. So we also see that that Dylan has moved out. Norman comes downstairs and Norma's just trying to be normal again and, making some eggs and poor Norma's like, where's Dylan? Because he moved out, and it's like, what? And her quote is like, he moved out. He's not going to live it anymore. What kind of toast do you want, sweetie?
Yeah.
And that's it's very
such
like.
Such an awesome family. Just keeping everybody updated.
We'll never see him again. What kind of toast do you want? He's bad. Those are the normal moments that I love, but that was, and then Norman's reaction was sort of like shocked. And then of course he does this thing where it's like, okay, well, if you say so, mother, this is very normal.
Mm.
And he does this really cool thing too, where when it's the two of them and Norma's telling him something that's shocking and it's, she's sort of letting him know how it is and he may disagree or not, think she's in the wrong or whatever it is. He never really takes that. He never goes against his mother with other people. So when he talks to Emma, and Emma's like, "What happened to Dylan?" He's like, "It just happens. It happens sometime. Like, leave him alone. Leave us alone. We're family."
Hmm.
In other words, saying like, "I don't know. My mom said, my mom's crazy." Like, he'll never do that.
Yeah,
which is something that I find interesting. I don't know.
And it's funny how Emma is like, she's ever the investigator. She's like, "Well, what could have happened that's so bad that's not fixable?"
Right.
Like, she will always pry and she always asks the very important and relevant questions.
Sure. And that's great. Like it's not computing to Emma. It's like, okay, wait, what? It's he's gone. This is your brother. Like, what's not fixable? It's like, I don't know. It happens. We're family. I don't know. Get out of here. like, No, poor Norman.
Don't question it.
Yeah, don't question it. I don't know. Whatever. So yeah. So then, but Emma has really got more better things in her mind. She's got some other things in her mind, as we alluded to, because she's trying to figure out what's going to happen with her boy Double Puka Shells down the hall, in room number 7.
Gunner.
Yes. And Gunner, you know, I don't trust anyone. I thought Gunner was going to be kind of an a-hole or kind of a bad guy, and he seems to be all right. He seems to be just a sweet kid.
Just wants to sell weed.
He just wants to get his own weed business.
Yeah.
And make a way for himself. And he seems
American dream right there. That's all it is.
hey, nobody's perfect.
Right.
That's the brilliance of the show, though, is that you never know who's going to be good and who's going to be bad. And I think that keeping those questions lingering for everybody keeps it so exciting to watch.
You know who's bad? Zane.
Yeah.
there's no question that Zane's bad. But yes, yeah, so I don't know. Like, you know, I'm really surprised how sweet Gunner is, because Gunner came off as this sort of like, at least to me initially, as this sort of like, you know, douchey dude, but maybe it was just the Puka Shells. But like, I, you know, he was he's sweet to her, right?
Yeah, he's pretty nice to her.
Yeah, the whole time. So I don't.
He's what she needs right now.
Where do you think this thing's going, Nando?
I think it's going to continue for sure. I mean, look, based on what we've seen so far, it doesn't seem like anything could go wrong. But of course, this is Bates Motel, so I'm sure there's going to be something that's going to come up that's going to separate the two of them. She also has loosened up a lot more from season one. I mean, you see the way she doesn't hold herself as sickly as she did in season one. I made reference to this last week. She did it again this episode. She's just carrying her air tank like it's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, she's not even dragging the wheels on the floor anymore. She's just like whipping it around. She might as well just do little lassos with it, the way she's acting. And based on last week, you know, she was willing to make bad decisions. She's definitely a lot more open-minded than that first interaction with Gunner, when she was a little bit appalled and looking down on him for giving her a brownie and for you know, getting involved in the
now
business.
She's like, live a little.
Yeah, which is kind of awesome. It's nice to see Emma like this.
Dude, do you think there will be another shoe to drop with Gunner? Do you think he's at the up and up?
Yeah. No, I think that he is who he is. I think that he serves his purpose as kind of like Emma's, like, you know, first time, her love interest. I just don't, right now, I don't see like a storyline with him really getting kind of too into anything. I just think he strictly serves for subplot right now. That's all I see him as, honestly. I think it would be fun to, like, twist him in, and I would love to be surprised and shocked. But I think that's exactly what it is. He's here for the summer, and that's it. She's not going to marry him. He's going to, you know, probably will inevitably break her heart, and then Norman will be there for him.
I find that hard to believe in that. I just feel like the show is so tightly written and so well-constructed. It reminds me of Breaking Bad in that, like, there's no – if you see something – and if something happens, there'll be that loose end will come back around and usually be tied up. There's very little just like atmospheric sort of story. So if Gunner's there hanging out in the hotel room and you know, taking her virginity, I feel like that's a story. That's a major plot point. That's something that is very, you know, obviously you know, special to Emma. And I don't know. I feel like those are, and same with Cody. I think these are major, major events. And for both of them to have this moment in the same episode, I just feel like this is going to turn in some way. I just don't know what. So that's my thought.
Hmm.
Who knows?
Interesting. I would love to be wrong. That would be an exciting story.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't know what the story is, but I just feel like in this world, you know, things don't happen for no reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything we see is coming back to something, you know, so we'll see how that works out.
Like, you find out that he's actually the son of somebody really important.
Yeah, who knows? He's Nick's son, you know, we find out, you know, who knows, you know? speaking of Nick and the overpass, Norma goes and pulls out the old card and gives good old Nick a call. And Nick is expecting her call. Which was, which got me thinking, like, was his presence there? We talked about this a little last week or the week before about, you know, again, that maybe how this friendship with what's the friend's name who had the party?
Oh, I want to say Catherine. Is it or Christine?
Christina?
I think it's Christina.
Dua?
I think it's Christina.
This friendship, was that legit or was this part of a larger setup? Mm. And this is also feels like this may be a larger setup. For whatever reason, it was to sort of funnel Norma right to Nick, who just happened to be there, who just happens to oppose the overpass as well. And he's like, I was waiting for your call. Mm. And that was very interesting. And so she got to go to this very cool yacht or boat where he has a very lovely assistant slash, I don't know what she was, assistant slash something. And he pulled out a nice bottle of a Chabouillet Montrose.
Nice. I believe that's right.
Very classy.
I loved her reaction. That was a brilliant reaction when she drank that wine.
Yeah.
She was just so blown away by how good it was.
It's like, this is not the box. This is not a box.
This isn't box wine.
Did you notice on the left side of the screen when she walks up to the yacht? Did you notice how much smaller all the other boats were?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
All the other boats were so small, and his was literally probably about 5 times larger than any other boat around.
Hmm. Yeah, that was very much like that. I wrote, like, who is this guy? Just the big giant boat. And he's like, please, the yacht. Like, thank you for letting me on your yacht. It's like, please, it's a boat.
Yeah.
Shane, can I get a bottle of Montreux? Like, wait, what?
Montreux, yeah. I don't know. Yes. Montreux Fufu? Yeah.
Chablis Montreux.
Can I get a bottle of really expensive wine, please?
Yes. So that was kind of a cool look. And so they had the wine, and he basically assured her that, he's on her side. He's got to keep a low profile, but he needs her to be front and center on this whole thing, and he's going to back her. Hmm. And she, very naively, Norma's no dummy, but she very much does not. This is where she's in survival mode, right? She wants to keep the overpass from existing at all costs. She maybe instinctively feels that something's not quite right, but at the same time, she's so overwhelmed with, like, well, I'm finally winning one. Like, old Norma's going to win one this time.
Yeah.
Everything's going my way for once. And she's kind of blind to the fact that this may or may not be cool.
That she might be used. Yes, exactly.
It's interesting because Nick, when I mentioned a few episodes ago how I thought that they were going to use her as a pawn, Nick very much openly mentions on the boat that he kind of is going to use her as a pawn. You know, I can't in my position oppose this, but you can. I kind of want you to do this for both of us. And I think that since this also feeds Norma's interest, she's willing to overlook anything else or what necessarily she's getting into. All she sees is that she's getting what she wants in this moment.
Right.
And, like, very much in that childlike way, she can't really see the bigger picture. Well, why can't you oppose this? Who are you going to, who are you? You've got this big boat. She's just in awe by all this, smoke and mirrors and all of this big boat, great wine. She's not asking any questions.
Yes. And it's not so much that, well, we'll see whether or not she's a pawn or whether she's a patsy or a fall guy, because we see what happened to at the end. We see what happened to I don't have his name. The councilman who her main
Berman
opposition
was his last name.
Lee Daniels
the butler.
The butler.
Lee Daniels presents Base Motel. No, yeah, we'll see. I mean, maybe she's there to be the fall guy, and we'll get back to that in a second. But I do, even after she left the boat, and she seems very happy, and she went to go see our good friend Brian Fuller. Hmm. Brian Fuller made an appearance
Brian
on the show.
Brian Fuller, I know, I like that.
The showrunner of Hannibal, Brian Fuller, made an appearance in the Base Motel. No, the character's name was Brian Fuller, but he's the biologist who has prepared all this wonderful research for her to give to the city council.
Yes.
And again, she's like, well, great, I'm gonna win, and she very very smugly went in there and like and give this to so-and-so,
yeah,
and tell him I said hi. Which is also a cool moment until he ended up dead.
What else they should tell him?
Yes.
Tell him to go to iTunes.
Oh, they should tell him to go to iTunes. Thanks, Steve Lemieux. They should tell him to go to iTunes, because that's where you can download episodes of this podcast and all the other wonderful podcasts in AfterBuzz. But if you're listening on iTunes, thank you very much for downloading this and rating us and listening to us right now. And if you're on YouTube, thanks for watching us, and thanks for commenting, and thanks for everything you do there at YouTube. Right, Nando?
Yes, absolutely, because we love fives.
That's right.
On iTunes, and then YouTube, just comment.
Okay.
We just hit 6,000 shows published today.
Oh,
really?
6,000 shows.
That is awesome.
That's so. Thank you for that, folks who are listening. With 6,000 shows published, wow, that's nice.
Mm.
That's a big number.
That is a big number.
Makes me just want to go take my car and hit some.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, it's Paul Abdul. The music speaks
okay,
to me.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, so we get this. We get Zane, who I think Zane looks like a young Patrick Swayze to me. I saw him there, I'm like, whoa, he's like a...
I can see that a little bit.
I saw a couple, I'm like, oh, Zane's kind of got like that, well, he's got some Swayze in him.
You scare me more and more each day, though.
What, me?
Yeah.
Zane
yeah.
got his ass kicked to this episode.
Yes. He did. Zane got his ass kicked, and Romero, we can see Romero be the badass that we know he is with a very nice right hand.
Mm.
You know, he is very surprised, and Zane jumped. And basically just got his ass kicked, right? Got
yeah.
his gun taken.
Oh, yeah.
Cut a beat down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he got one punch in, right? He got one
punch in. Yeah, he got one good punch in.
He got to back him up
lost
a little
his
bit.
Gun.
Yes.
Mm.
But Romero threatened him like, you know, I'm going to bury you and your business.
Mm-hmm.
So every time he told you, you can't rest.
Yeah.
That was dope. I love that scene. also much, but we also love how Norma very much was like, well, they mess with you. You're a badass. They can't mess with you. I'd be so afraid what you would do to them. What are you going to do?
Hmm.
You know, like she's such a weird instigator, but that's like some of the teenage Norma coming out.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. What did you think of that whole situation, Dua?
Well, I'm going to keep close to what I said last week in that I definitely think that what he's going to bring down on them is something that's going to be well calculated and he's going to really plot. But I think that, just as Norma said, sometimes you just need to kick some ass. And I think that he was so angry after what happened. Like all of his stuff is gone. He has no clothes. He's got that one outfit to wear.
Right.
And now, you know, he just wanted to kick somebody's ass. But I yeah. think that when he does finally kind of bring the heat down on Zane and his whole organization, it's not going to be as hasty. It's going to be really, really well thought out. And it's going to, you know, it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
So this is just to let off some steam. I think that is exactly what it did.
And Norma, you know, it's like, it feels good to wail on someone, you know, just a cool thing
yeah.
to say. So that was that. And then he comes back after that. And then as we talked about, we had that moment, you know, in the thing where she's washing his clothes and mm-hmm. she's like, should have makes him come upstairs. And I don't know. Sparks there with Romero and Norma?
I could see it happening. I think it's yeah. right now, it's just still a lot of funny interactions with him.
Sure.
You know, he's obviously moved into her house yeah. in a way, the way she's acting.
Yeah.
Taking care, tidying him up and taking care of things.
She did his laundry.
I know.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
well, Dua, you're a woman.
I definitely think that there are going to be some sparks. I mean, Romero's in a really vulnerable position. I was actually going to, it was one of my predictions mm-hmm. that there's something going to, he's in a really vulnerable position right now. He's single and he's working all day and now he comes home. And when he comes home now to the hotel, she's there. So it's only a matter of episodes before, you know, she's like, why don't you come inside for something to eat? Why don't you do this? And, you know, I definitely see the energy between them and there's something between them. And I think that would be a fun way to go.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and just think if anything happens at the hotel, he's also there too, as kind of a protector.
I mean, he didn't have a house. So, I mean, it took him a long time yeah. to rebuild a house. Got a lot of space in that Bates Motel. I mean, a lot of space in the house.
He made her smile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or she made him smile, rather.
Yeah. That was a
That's
nice.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. That was a nice Nestor smile. So Zane comes back, and he reports back to, not reports back, but comes back and has that conversation with Dylan. And was very, didn't seem very bothered by the fact that he got his ass kicked by Romero. I was like, yeah, well, I did burn down the dude's house. I mean, it's worth it, you know.
I have a question.
Yes.
What he came back to the lunch. What was up with that whole asking, like for a second, I thought that Remo was going to get killed today because mm. when he asked Dylan to lunch, but didn't invite Remo, like what was
right.
that about?
Mm. I thought that for half a second too, but I think it was just more of a lieutenant, like, you know, Dylan is Remo's boss. So it's sort of like we, you know, the it's like grown men are going to have a conversation now, but the adults are going to talk over here. You stay there and take care of the weed. I think that's what it was. But I was with you. I thought like, oh, was he really, It's like, when he's like, I'll bring you some back. I'll bring you some food back.
I think it also just shows that, you know, Remo's been talking a lot of smack about Zane. So I think maybe it's Zane's way of saying, yeah, I know, right. I know who I can trust from you two guys. I know who is a little bit more trainable, who I can definitely put under my wing. So, and, you know, so far based on what happened at the when they were leaving the restaurant.
Well, it also opens the door for, you know, now that Remo wasn't there, I mean, who made that call? You know, that's true too. How do they know? How do they know they're at the Mexican restaurant?
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way.
So I mean, so someone had to say, "Oh, I know exactly where they are. They're at the Mexican restaurant."
Mm.
You know, that makes sense that it's Remo. So go find them there. And I mean, you know, the mysterious Mustangs that could be cruising up and down the streets, hoping to find Zane. With the guns ready. Like, yeah. they knew where to find him.
But Remo, I love that thought, but Remo's also a small guy on the totem pole. Do you really think, like, he hasn't gotten anywhere in the years that he's been in this business, and that's because he doesn't make those calls.
Yeah, but he also...
He doesn't have the balls to do that.
But he also sees that Zane is in control. He's smart enough to sort of stay out of the way, but he also sees if Zane's in control, Zane's putting everyone in danger, the whole operation in danger. Mm-hmm. He's been very vocal about Zane's recklessness from day one. He's a smart. Maybe he just said, you know what? Let's just get rid of Zane. Let me tell the guys where Zane is, or maybe he's going to make a move to the other side and get promoted. Who knows?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, maybe. For a second, I feel like it couldn't be. I don't feel like something like that would be Sheriff Romero. Although I think they're trying to pass it along to make him think that it could be.
Yeah, well, I don't know that Sheriff Romero, because I don't know that Sheriff Romero would run down Dylan. Which, by the way, I mean, I'm a big action star guy, but that move, that weird like. A total Danny Glover Lethal Weapon move.
Oh, just coming
just
out?
To walk in the middle of the street, you know, and then point the gun and, you know, crick his neck and just start shooting. Like, there's a giant Mustang with two automatic weapons barreling down on you. And you're just going to stand in the street like Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
And just start firing off shots.
That was a little preposterous.
That was very...
The only reason that I actually bought that, and the only reason that I actually didn't think that was over the top, is because I think that it goes Stallone side to side with...
Sorry,
where Dylan is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan has just gotten a huge piece of information about his life.
Sure.
And is in a really shitty spot. He's just moved out of his place. He's trying to call his brother. His brother's not answering the phone. Like, right now, he was probably like, fuck it. I don't care. Like, if I die in this moment right now, I'm just going to tempt fate. And I think that that's where I was like, okay, because Dylan's just so low and just so, you know, he's just going to lead it, you know.
You mean he was like, screw it.
Screw
not,
it. Not F it.
Not F it, right? Right, Dua?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, if I'm going to... And in the same token, he really kind of showed, you know, amazing loyalty to somebody who's absolutely nuts. Like, you kind of want Zane on your side. You don't want him questioning your loyalty.
Right. So he that makes sense. He went out there and he did his Dirty Harry move or his Lethal Weapon move or any other 80s reference that I can mention that dates me. And, gets hit. Gets hit and rolled over.
Gets hit big time, yeah.
And so he's in trouble. So we'll see what happens there. And then, we know what happens there. He gets a visit from the boss.
Yeah.
The boss lady, the mysterious boss lady.
Very pretty, mysterious boss lady.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was cool.
Who happens to be Zane's sister.
Yes.
Now we know why Zane is...
Now we know why Zane's so high up, even though he's a little crazy and a little...
crazy.
Yeah, he's a loose cannon, but, you know, we know why he's so high up there.
So, I mean, this may be well for Dylan work-wise. I mean, this could, you know, promote him right up the food chain. I mean, he could be Zane's boss after this. Who knows?
Yeah.
She sees, you know, how valuable he is. Mm. I want to go back to that before that, Dylan was trying to call Norman. And, you know, and really trying to call him, which I thought was really nice. I mean, I don't know if it was sort of... I mean, Dylan was calling Norman, right? Is that right, Dua?
Yep. Didn't you hear the absolute Norman message? He was like, hello there.
Hello there. It's Norman. I will call you back.
Yeah.
Hello there. It's Norman. I'll call you back. Yeah.
But Norman was getting late, I think, if I'm right with the timeline.
I believe you are. So Norman was a little busy. He was occupied.
I do love the final exchange, the final Norman exchange at the end where, you know, the absolute, you know, super Norma moment where she's like, honey, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but stay away from that girl. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You're your own man, but you can never see her again.
Norma.
That was so
Norma.
I love the blocking of that scene because she started at the bottom of the stairs, and as she slowly creeped up, I thought that she was going to smell the beer on his breath and, like, lose her mind. And she's like, have you been drinking beer? Like, that's what I was waiting for. As she got closer and closer, it seemed like he was being nervous.
Right.
But it never came.
No, no. Those scenes are always great between the two of them because they're played in so many different ways, mm-hmm. with some different layers, but in so much happening reaction-wise. And, I mean, you know, again, Freddie Highmore and Vera Farmiga. I'll be the Joe Sanfilippo. Vera Farmiga's amazing! That's it. I love her! I'm Joe Sanfilippo.
You love doing that.
I gotta tell you, she can act.
He's doing it. Yeah, it's his Joe Sanfilippo impersonation. It was really good. Last night's was better when you did it last night.
I know.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm Joe. Okay, anyway. So, so we have that exchange. So, and then, I don't know. Then the final thing we see is that Romero comes and gives the news. And I thought he's going to give the news that you didn't hear. Dylan's in the hospital. But it was no, you didn't hear.
I was surprised about that, too, that he didn't go for the Dylan comment. After all, it was a big shootout right on Main Street.
Right.
Right? And then instead he goes and he talks about I guess, what's his title? Assemblyman?
Yes.
Yeah. We're doing bad. He talks about that. That was just interesting.
So that's a big reveal because he did warn her once he mentioned these, you know, once he mentioned that she's talking to Nick. He's like, he's a drug dealer, and stay away from him, stay far away. And Norman's like, oh, okay, I'll do that. So now...
It's like, I wasn't doing anything. She got defensive like a teenager. She said, no, I wasn't. I was just asking if you knew him.
Yeah. So where is this going, Dua? So this is my question earlier. Is Norma a patsy or a pawn, or is this sort of like part of the plan all along?
Well, I think that, I mean, I definitely think that she is, I mean... She's being used, but he wasn't really secretive about it or conniving about it. He was just pretty much saying, hey, you want this, I want this, I can't do this, go do this for me. So I mean, I like the fact that he's, I think, being honest. You know, it's really interesting. Out of all the bad guys in this show, is it Neil or Nick?
Nick.
It's Nick. Nick is my favorite one. He still has this, you know, he's sympathetic because you know that his daughter just died.
Yep.
He just seems like a nice guy, even though you know he's a bad guy, and I still feel like I don't know a lot about it.
Well, I don't know that they're bad guys or good guys, right? I mean, these are. I mean that we know that there's before this recent bloodshed. This is a town that these are businessmen. These are high level businessmen. Now their business is weed, but there's no like Romero said, the rules are the rules. No one's killing each other. There's no real bloodshed until Zane went nuts. Like, you know, because of what happened to Gil Turner, which was Bradley, you know, this has been pretty, you know, pretty normal, except for what happened to Bradley's dad, which was separate. So, I mean, I feel like that, I don't know that anyone's a bad guy per se, but, I mean, this will be revealed, but I think they're just two businessmen. I think it's purposely ambiguous.
Joe.
Yeah.
Joe, are you kidding me right now, Joe?
Yes.
Joe.
No.
Who do you think killed... this guy that just died in a car accident.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's what happened. But he's
not a bad guy.
Well, I mean, maybe. They're just doing what they're trying to do to run their business properly.
It's so funny how you're like, you're absolutely right in what you're saying. And it's like, he's not really bad, but I'm just going to off somebody that I know is like, of course he, you know, caused this car accident and caused this guy to go off the ravine because he's getting in the way of the bypass. Like he said before, he's going to pull some strings when necessary.
Right.
But it's just, he's doing it from his boat. It doesn't seem bad, but he's definitely a bad guy.
Okay.
At least I
think
so.
I'm not saying he's a good guy. I'm just not saying he's a supervillain. And we don't know what, I mean, because if he's a bad guy, then Dylan's got to be a bad guy. You know, and if maybe Sheriff Romero's a bad guy because Sheriff Romero's complicit in this whole thing. I mean, this is my point. Is it's a very gray town, or green town with green with weed and money? What?
Oh boy. Okay. I kind of agree with you there.
Okay. Well, internet can tell me that I'm wrong again, but I think that I just think that it's more ambiguous than.
I just think it's funny how, I just think like the realm of things that are that go on in this show, that somebody getting hit by a car is really, it's actually not that bad and can often, right. often be overlooked.
Exactly.
Well, you're like, oh, he just got hit by a car. I'm like, that's not bad.
That's not bad. He's still, he's a good guy. He's a good, maybe not a good driver. Maybe not a good driver, but a good guy.
The death toll, by the way, since Norma showed up, I mean, there's been a lot of deaths in this town.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sheriff Romero's been involved with a lot of, like, you know, there's a lot of bodies from season one and season two. Like, since the body count's higher than normal.
Yeah.
So I think that's, I don't know if that's, it just seems like Norma, this cloud is following Norma, whether she's involved in killing someone or Norman or, you know, it's someone around them is always, death seems to follow this family. Which is interesting.
Yeah, I think the body count is actually like right around like 15 or 16 right now.
Wow, that's a lot for a small town.
It's I did a death toll count episode that you weren't there, and I think it was what like 13 or 14. Then I'll look back into it.
Wow.
And a few people I think have died since then. So
jeez.
Yeah. This place is killing people off left and right.
Yeah.
It's I used to love the Pacific Northwest.
So you might get laid if you go there, but you also might get killed.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to say.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what you're saying, yeah. Okay.
And if you're
I'll
lucky,
take my
you
chances. I'll take my chances. No, I won't take my chances. That's all I really got. I don't know. Any? Do you want to go into some anything else, Dua? Do you want to go into some news and gossip or just some shout-outs?
Why don't I do some shout-outs first? I'm looking into some stuff right here.
Cool. Okay.
There's a – yeah.
Okay.
You've got some shout-outs, Nando?
I do not, but Joe does.
I do. I will do Rainy J. Thank you for listening. She likes hot takes, or he likes hot takes and shots fired, or he or she, Rainy J. Luke Livermore, Robert Bashira, The Three Gaming Bros, BWJ 1986, Raven Shear 23, VG123, Iffy 1, Kimalicious, Dr. Lee 2, Lounge Blogger, and Crimson King, once again, thank you for listening and thank you for commenting, and please continue to do so. Dua, do you have anything?
I have. Well, there was an interview and just some talk if you go to zaptoit.com, I just wanted to mention something small about Michael O'Neill, who plays Nick on Bates Motel. And it's interesting because they're talking a little bit about, if you read how they're establishing pretty quickly in the season, and they don't want you to forget that most of he's very, very driven by the loss of his daughter, and right. he really wants closure on that. So I think that might be something that for us to all think about when we're kind of wondering what his motivation for the bypass is. Mm-hmm. Like, where is that kind of going in, and how would that maybe, if his full motivation for this season is getting revenge and closure on the loss of his daughter, and maybe he doesn't think that he has that. Mm-hmm. So that kind of opens the door. But yeah, if you want to read that full full interview, you can go to zaptoit.com.
Awesome. Let's jump into some predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Do it, Casey. What do you have?
So my main prediction was that I think that Norma and Sheriff Romero were going to get it on.
Okay.
But then I have a kind of out there prediction that I just thought about, and I'm going to put it out there because if I don't say it and then it happens, I'm going to be really upset.
Okay.
I think that something is going to happen with Cody's dad and Cody. And I think that Norman is going to end up blacking out and killing Cody's dad. Mm-hmm. And Cody is actually going to be the first person to tell Norman what he did.
I like that. That's my prediction, actually. But go ahead.
I was going to say, not the second part of it, but I definitely was going to say that Norman will be the one to kill Cody's dad.
Yeah.
But I do like that.
We did see that moment of, you know, Norman eavesdropping. It sounds very familiar, yeah. That eavesdroppy Norman, like, finding out. And he does care very much about Cody. So,
yeah. Well,
they slept together,
he
sure.
He told him to stay in the car. And he didn't stay in the car immediately.
Right.
And he was very, mm-hmm. like, curious.
I'm very curious as to how this Norma's, like, you can't see her, how that plays out. Like, Norman's going to clearly defy her, mm. how that will play out, and, you know, and then bring him apart from Norma, but ultimately he'll come back to her. That's the dynamic. I'm interested to see how that plays out. I have no real prediction on that, though. But I agree with your prediction, Dua.
Good. Right. Yeah, I kind of hope it happens.
All right.
But it's weird because it would go against our theme of thinking that maybe he only kills women.
Yeah.
Or like, I mean, obviously he doesn't only kill
well,
women,
we
he's
think
killed
that,
men before, but
yeah,
what
okay.
kind of, what drives him to black
what
out?
What drives him to black out? Which
yeah.
Is, you know, there's some debate on that. We talked a little bit about that last week, but we'll soon find out,
mm-hmm.
I imagine. Nando, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at Nandovel, N-A-N-D-O-V-E-L, and on a bunch of AfterBuzz shows.
Dua, where can we find you, my dear?
You can find me on the Twitters, Dua Casey, D-U-A-K-A-I-S-S-I. Or you can find me, you know, here every Tuesday. It's Tuesday, right? Every Tuesday. Whether in physical form or not.
Thank you for joining us, Dua. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it. You can find me, Joe Braswell, at Instagram and Twitter, at Joe K. Braswell. You can find Joe Sanfilippo at Joe Flippo and at josephsanfilippo.com. That's all I got. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Steve Lemieux. Happy 6,000 shows to AfterBuzz, and we'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.